Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Matthew 13. That's the chapter we were in yesterday. Matthew chapter 13. We read from verse 10 through to the end of verse 17, where the Savior is speaking about why it is he teaches in parables. Look at verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? This question by the disciples in verse 10 obviously was prompted by the fact that they had noticed how the Lord used parables as he addressed the crowd. Now remember how yesterday we discovered that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's how the Savior put across divine truth. But we also noticed that there were two reasons why the Savior spoke in parables. One, strangely enough, was in order to hide the truth from those who didn't want to hear it, that he reveals to us in those verses we read, 10 through to 17 of Matthew 13. You'll see the Savior says, there are those who don't want to hear, and so I speak in parables, and they don't catch or understand what it is I'm saying. But then there are others who do want to hear, and I speak in parables in order to make the truth simple for them, that they might catch, through an earthly story, a heavenly truth. It's almost illustrated for us later in the chapter. We didn't read this verse, but will you look at it please now? It's the verse 36. As you read down this chapter, you will see that the Savior has told a number of parables. Verse 24 says, Another parable put he forth. Verse 31, another parable put it forth. Verse 33, another parable. So he's been speaking in parables. Then in verse 36 we read, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. The multitude went away. They didn't say, We'd like to know what you meant. We'd like to understand what it was you were teaching. No, they just went away. They went away. As a minister, preacher, I've often noticed at the end of a service, so many people just go away. And before they reach the gate, they've forgotten what was said. They never think about it again. But then there are those who show an attitude like that shown here by the disciples. They come unto the Lord and they say, Lord, declare unto us the meaning of these words that you have just spoken. And that, basically, boys and girls, is the two divisions that you find amongst humanity. Those who want to hear God's word and those who don't. Of course, we have to say that if we do have a desire after God's word, it is his mercy that is at work in us, giving us that desire. What a blessing it is to have our hearts and minds opened by God's Spirit to hear his word and to heed his word. That's something we should all pray for. You come here in the morning. I know at home you have a lot of running about, getting ready, making sure this is in the school bag and that's in the school bag and all the rest. But in the middle of all that activity, you should take a moment to pray. In anticipation of sitting here listening, you should pray. And here's what you should pray. The prayer is given to us in the Bible. It's in that wonderful Psalm 119. And there the psalmist says, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now the psalmist was a spiritual man, a holy man, one who knew the Lord. And yet he had an appetite to know more. He didn't say, Well, I know quite a bit about the Lord and that'll do me. No need for me to pursue the matter any more. But no, he still has an appetite. Open now mine eyes. You know, boys and girls, when we come to the Bible, our eyes usually are closed. Not a sad thing. Can you imagine meeting someone and they begin talking to you and your eyes close? What would they think? What would they think? They might bundle you into the car and take you up to the hospital because there's something seriously wrong, my friend. But at the very least, they would say they're not interested in what I'm saying. If you come to the Bible, are your eyes closed? Do you never see anything in it? Is that how it is? Well, here's the answer. You pray, just like the psalmist here. Open thou mine eyes. He doesn't say, I must open my eyes myself. He doesn't say that because he can't. When it comes to spiritual things, we can't open our own eyes. We need God to open our eyes. That's why you should pray. Even as the psalmist here prays, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Listen to me. The world says the Bible's a boring old book. It says there's nothing in it for men today. It's out of date. Doesn't have any meaning for us today. That's a lie. There is in God's law wonderful things. Everyone that is in heaven today, or who will ever be in heaven, they are there because in the Bible they discovered the wonderful way to heaven that men generally don't know. Oh, there's wonderful things to be discovered in the Bible. So you need to pray, Lord, open our eyes. Just like the disciples were praying, for basically they were saying the same there in the verse 36. Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. We can't see, we can't understand just what it is you meant. Open thou mine eyes, that we might catch the truth that there is there in that parable. So, that's something of the ground we covered yesterday. We come to a simple truth. Parables are chiefly found in the New Testament. Now, there are some parables in the Old Testament. Job employs them, Micah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, they employ in their writing a parable or two. But chiefly parables are found in the New Testament. And you know, that is in keeping with the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Because the New Testament is a revelation from God in which he opens up, he reveals the truths that he had given in the Old Testament. There's an explaining, as it were. Look at what you read over in Hebrews chapter 1. I want you to look that up now. Hebrews chapter 1. And the verse 1. Verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners. Now that might not just be too familiar to you, those terms. God, who at different times, and in divers or different manners or different ways, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So you can see that there's a difference between how God spoke in times past and how he's speaking to us today. God's word came by prophets, and they spoke about the coming of the Messiah. But in the New Testament, God speaks unto us by his Son, who is the Messiah. Now you can readily see, if I were to try and describe to you someone, I wouldn't do nearly as good a job as if were I to say, the person I'm talking about, there they are, please come up. And I'd put them there in front of you. You would see them much more clearly than I could ever describe them for you. Well, in the Old Testament, the prophet spoke of the Lord Jesus. In the New Testament, the Lord Jesus speaks of himself. So there's a greater revelation, a clearer revelation of God's word, God's truth, God's purpose in the New Testament. And right there in the middle of it all, you have parable. And for God's people, the parable is a means of clearly understanding just what is God's truth. Just what is God's truth. I'll say another thing here today, time yet, that the Lord Jesus should use parables indicates that he would have the youngest person learn from him. In the parables, he uses the plainest of language. He uses the simplest of stories. And he does that in order that even the youngest person could follow what he had to say. The youngest child, who is of age to understand words at all, can follow the story of the sower going forth to sow. I'm sure there's not one of you here but have gone out with mum or dad, and perhaps you've seen them planting bulbs in the garden. There's this little thing, a bulb, looks a bit like an onion. Only usually it's much smaller, but it looks like an onion. And they carefully make a hole and they drop it in and they cover it over. And they tell you that that there will grow and in the springtime will become a beautiful flower. And you may have seen that happen. You're old enough. You've seen a number of springtimes. You've seen the daffodils come up. You've seen the snowdrops come up. And they're all coming up as a result of a little bulb being put into the ground. You can understand that. And when the Saviour spoke about the farmer going out with his seed and beginning to scatter it in the field, people knew what he meant. People knew what he meant. And he wanted them to know what he meant. Even the little boy that was standing there in the crowd with mommy or daddy and listening. When the Saviour spoke about the sower, yes, I've seen a sower going out. Yes, I know it. I know what he's talking about. And the Lord wants you to understand this book. And he speaks in language whereby you can understand this book. The Lord Jesus used to say many times, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Those of you, he says, who are inclined to hear God's word, listen carefully now. Listen carefully now. You know, every day, boys and girls, we hear noises that we pay no heed to. We hear noises, and at the same time, we hardly hear them. When you're out there in the playground, there's all sorts of noises going on that you don't really pay any heed to. Flapping across the sky above your head, there's the old crow, and he croaks a few times, but you pay no heed. You're not interested in that old crow. Or across the hedge, there's a cow. Maybe she moves a few times, but you pay no heed. You're not interested in what the cow has to say. But then there are other noises that you know I have to heed that noise. I have to listen to that noise and act accordingly. When the bell rings, lunchtime's over. Galloping about like mad things out there is over. And it's back into the class. Now you pay no heed to the old cow or the crow, but you have to pay heed to the bell. And boys and girls, there are many noises in this world, and I would say to you, pay no heed to them, but when you hear God's word being sounded, you pay heed. You listen. You listen, for it's most important indeed. We have to listen above all things to what God has to say. It's the chief thing that we must heed. Here's what the psalmist said. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." That's Psalm 119 and the verse 11. Psalm 119 is all about the word of God. It's a great psalm for you to read. Oh, it's a long psalm, but it's worth reading. And when you've read it, go back and start and read it again, for you will discover new things that you missed the first time. "Thy word have I hid in my heart." Now that's giving heed. The word that the psalmist heard didn't go over his head like a crow, and he paid no heed. It didn't sound like a cow over the hedge mooing, to which he paid no heed. But God's word he grabbed hold of and he hid it away in his heart. "That I might not sin against thee." You see, that's what God's word produces. God's word delivers us from sin. The more we read the word, the more we heed the word, the more we listen to the word, the more clean we will become, the more holy we will become. A friend of Job, he had a funny name, he's called Eliphaz the Temanite. And here's what he said. "Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart." Now, it was good advice to Job, even though those men made many mistakes about Job, but that was good advice. That was good advice. "Lay up God's word in your heart," he says. Then Jeremiah said something else. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." There's another way of saying the same thing. The psalmist and Eliphaz, lay up the word. Jeremiah, he put it like this, "Thy word I ate." What do you do with food? You mightn't realize it, but every time you sit down and begin to eat, you're laying up food within you for your body to absorb and give you fuel for all that running about. That's what you're doing. You've never thought of that, you didn't. You thought you'd just sit down and eat because things tasted nice. Oh, but there's more to it than just the taste. You're laying it up in your body, and your body is processing it and turning it into energy. And that's what happens when we lay up God's word in our heart. We begin to process it, and it changes us and alters us and makes us to grow spiritually. And there's a benefit and a blessing to us. Following the birth of the Lord Jesus, in Bethlehem. Remember how the shepherds were given the wonderful privilege of being the first to see him. He was just born when they came. They were the first, not princes or kings or presidents or anything like that. No, just shepherds. God saw to it that they were the first to see the Lord Jesus among men. God sent a special invitation to them, sent an angel, sent, I don't know, maybe millions of angels. For a heavenly host was revealed to them, singing and rejoicing and telling those shepherds, there's a Savior born in Bethlehem. And when the angels withdrew, they said among themselves, this is a marvelous thing. Let's go and investigate. They took heed to what they heard. And when they saw the Lord, they began to spread abroad what it is they saw. And here's what we read. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Two reactions. There was amongst many who heard the wonderful testimony of the shepherds a wondering. What are they talking about? Do you think they're talking sense? Is this true? And then there was Mary, and she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She received them into her heart and began to think upon them, meditate upon them, just the way we do with food, extracting from it all that's good. She began to extract from what it was that had happened and she had seen that day and learn. So it is with the Word of God, boys and girls. Some of you, your eyes are shut. Isn't that right? You have no interest. Your eyes are shut. Not really listening. But others, I hope, are like Mary. You're pondering. You're thinking about this. You're saying, how does this affect me? What does this mean for me? Oh, boys and girls, you'll never get to heaven if you don't think about and ponder on what God's Word has to say to you. May the Lord bless you. Open your eyes to behold wonderful things out of His law. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Lord, I pray You'll have mercy. You'll have mercy, Lord, upon the children. Oh, God, speak to them. And those, Lord, whose eyes are closed today, have mercy. Their hearts are shut, Lord, have mercy. And may there be an opening to receive the Word of God and bring about that wonderful change that the Word of God brings. Speak to them all. Bless the school and keep it safe today. Oh, God, keep us all in the midst of life's dangers. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.